Are antihistamines a big no-no for itch? A lot of you listeners are either my patients or your Christie's patients, or if you're really lucky, you're shared between us. Just kidding. We're the lucky ones. We love you guys. As always, this is not medical advice. This is for entertainment and education purposes only. So a lot of you are also older than age 55. This podcast episode is really made for you. If you find yourself to be a 55-year-old patient taking an antihistamine for itchy skin, let's dive right into this episode. As always, the article that we're going to be discussing is linked in your show notes, so check it out if you want more information. So in the main, dermatologists like myself use topical medicines to treat itchy skin conditions. We also commonly recommend that you use an antihistamine to help offset any itch, although I don't particularly do this as much unless you have a known condition such as hives or a medicine allergy or some other allergic condition that I know is going to respond to antihistamines. But in the main, a lot of dermatologists do recommend taking an antihistamine if their patients are feeling itchy. Antihistamines are one of the most commonly prescribed and over-the-counter used medicines because of their purported benefit for treating itch. We're going to debunk that notion to some degree today with our podcast. So itch prevalence among older people is as high as 46%, and dermatologists use antihistamines to treat itch in older people in up to 70% of the time. The problem is that antihistamines do have some risks, particularly when they're used by older people. Antihistamines can cause confusion, drowsiness, imbalance, urinary retention, and can worsen glaucoma. These are all issues that are usually already seen in older people, so the chances of making these problems worse by taking an antihistamine is particularly high in this age group. There are a lot of antihistamines. The one that you're probably all familiar with is called diphenhydramine, aka Benadryl. That's because it's an over-the-counter and it's easily accessible and you can find it literally everywhere. There are several other over-the-counter antihistamines, including Zyrtec, also known as cetirizine, Allegra, also called fexofenadine, hydroxyzine, and loratadine, also known as Claritin. There are several more, but these are the ones you're likely to have seen or have used by yourself in the past because of how ubiquitous they are. We categorize antihistamines into those that block the histamine 1 or H1 receptor and those that block the histamine 2 or H2 receptors. The ones I just listed are those that block the H1 receptor. And then we further subcategorize H1 antihistamines into first generation and second generation antihistamines. All H1 antihistamines work by decreasing your body's allergic response by reducing the action of histamine on H1 receptors. H1 antihistamines also have anti-inflammatory effects by even blocking the release of histamine in the first place. So you at this point may be asking yourself, what is histamine? Histamine is a compound that's made by your body, and it kind of acts as like a governor of inflammation in your body, but it does a lot more than that. There are histamine receptors in your brain, in your gut, but the most well-known function of histamine is to induce an inflammatory response, oftentimes in response to an environmental trigger, like exposure to bacteria, exposure to tree pollen, something that your body is mounting an immune response against. So as you can imagine, antihistamines are FDA indicated, meaning they're approved drugs for treating allergic conditions, things like allergic rhinoconjunctivitis, aka that's like common allergies like stuffy nose, red eyes. Antihistamines are also used to treat hives, angioedema, which is a deeper form of an allergic response in your deep soft tissues, as well as other allergic conditions. That's because all of these disorders share the feature of excessive histamine release and reactivity, and these drugs block these effects in your body. So first generation H1 antihistamines are lipophilic, and that means that they bind to fats. This also means that they can cross the lipophilic membrane, also known as the blood-brain barrier, and can penetrate into your brain tissue and cause side effects like drowsiness and sedation. First-generation antihistamines include Benadryl and hydroxyzine, whereas second-generation antihistamines, H1 antihistamines, are less lipophilic and have much less penetration into your brain and therefore, at least in theory, have fewer side effects in the way of sedation. Second generation antihistamines include cetirizine, efexofenadine, and loratadine. So let's talk about antihistamines in older people. Simply due to the way that we age, as we age, our bodies lose muscle mass and we gain fat tissue. Sorry, but that is a fact of life. Consequently, older people have more fat stores and are therefore more prone to side effects from first generation H1 antihistamines. Remember, this is the group of antihistamines that are lipophilic and deposit in fatty tissues. So think of it this way. Due to having more fat stores, older people will store more antihistamine drug in their bodies and are therefore much more prone to side effects from said medications. Not only that, but first generation H1 antihistamines also interact with drugs and are metabolized by the liver, where they can inhibit certain enzymes that ordinarily break down other drugs. This means that older people who usually take more medicines than younger people are also more prone to medication interactions when taking antihistamines. Another reason this age group is more susceptible to problems when taking antihistamines. Medicines that interact with antihistamines include benzodiazepines, dementia meds, antidepressants like SSRIs, certain seizure medications, and even some antibiotics like erythromycin. Older people who take first-generation H1 antihistamines will experience delirium and altered consciousness at nearly 3 times the rate of younger people who take the same medications. And not only that, but older people, due to antihistamine effects on their brains, are at a greater risk of falls and hip fracture, which can be life-threatening. Other side effects of antihistamines include rapid heart rate, heart arrhythmias, hallucinations, urinary retention, that means the inability to pee, constipation, and as previously mentioned, worsening glaucoma. First generation H1 antihistamines are more likely to cause these side effects compared to second generation H1 antihistamines. So what to do if you're older and need to take an antihistamine because you have an allergic condition? First, know that taking a second generation antihistamine like Allegra or Zyrtec is really preferred to taking a first generation antihistamine like Benadryl or Atarax. Second, and this comes straight from this review, Allegra, that is fexofenadine, is actually preferred by most doctors. It's normally taken 60 milligrams twice per day, but even at double that dose, it's still not sedating. Zyrtec, which I've historically recommended to people with allergic and itchy skin conditions when I know they're going to respond to an antihistamine, Zyrtec is actually able to be sedating when taken in high enough doses. So really, my new go-to, especially after reading this article, has been Allegra, 60 milligrams twice a day. Furthermore, Zyrtec is cleared by your kidneys, and older people are generally prone to reduced kidney function, and so therefore they may have a greater risk of side effects from taking Zyrtec. Another reason I recommend Allegra over Zyrtec. As always, we recommend that you consider non-drug approaches to managing itch if that's the underlying reason you're trying to take an antihistamine to get itch relief. So that means using a moisturizer like the one we make, so check out mdcrafted.co, and limiting the use of harsh soaps, not taking hot showers, and not showering for more than 5 minutes. Because if you take long showers, you tend to strip your skin of its barrier oils, and that compromises your skin's integrity, often leading to dry skin, itch, scratching, exposed skin barrier, and a vicious cycle. Here's a list of questions to consider before you take an antihistamine. Do you have glaucoma? Do you have prostate problems if you're a man? Do you have a problem with your balance or memory? Do you have trouble emptying your bladder? Have you had a serious fall in the past? Are you taking other antihistamines? Your doctor should definitely know about that. Are you taking medicines for depression or an overactive bladder? Do you take medicines for pain or for sleep? To all of our older listeners, this one was for you. God bless you. Talk to you in the next episode.